Remember the sacrifice of Christ on the cross and Him rising again on the third day. And it's because of what He's done that our lives can be saved for all of eternity. And our hope is in Jesus Christ. Tonight, as we celebrate the gospel message and partake of communion in remembrance of what Jesus has done, I want to have a couple of testimonies tonight. We want to hear how Jesus has changed people's lives. And tonight, just a precious brother in Christ. God has done so much in his life, and he's been wanting to share. And his name is Fernie Santana, and he's going to come up and share. Why don't you welcome him up? Welcome him up.
Good evening. My name is Fernando Santana, and I just want to share my testimony how God really changed my life, and I give Him all the glory, because the way I was living my life, I should have been dead. I was addicted to cocaine for almost 13 years of my life, and I realized in life that God never abandoned me. I abandoned Him, and it breaks my heart, you know. And I remember as we were growing up as kids, my mom always tried to teach us about the church and God and everything. And it was a blessing when we were growing up. I had a great mother, a great father, hardworking, and we grew up right down the street right here on Mesa and Donovan. And I remember the hardest thing in life that happened to me is in around 1990, my mom passed away in my arms at home. She died of cancer. And I took it real hard, and that's when I started using cocaine real bad and stuff. And it ended up getting me in a lot of problems through life and stuff. But what I want to share is that I realized that God was there every step of the way, and I didn't realize it. Now that I went through life and started reading my Bible, I realized, man, I should have been dead, you know. But I came from a family, we were a family of 12, a huge family, and actually, we were 11, and my father still adopted my little sister, and it was amazing. I went everywhere with my father. He was a diesel mechanic, and he had his own truck and stuff, and I was always amazed at my father, how he would go to the middle of a desert and take these big bulldozers apart and repair them and stuff. I said it was amazing to me. I never knew where he got the strength, you know. And as I started growing up in life, you know, I went through a lot of problems in life, and I ended up going to prison, you know. And I realized through my life that there's situations in my life that happen, and I know my Lord, man, it was amazing how He got me through this, and He changed me. I give God all the glory, you know. But as time went on, you know, during the things that happened in my life, you know, I remember some situations that, I mean, you know, me being in jail at times, there was one situation, you know, and the reason I share this is because of God's glory, you know. It was in 98. I was locked up for assault. I had assault charges on me, and I knew I was going to do some time. And I had been there like three weeks there sitting in jail, and I was gonna do at least a year. And next thing I realized that they called my name and they told me they were gonna let me go because it was overcrowded. And I'm like, are you sure? And yeah, you get your stuff. We're gonna have to let you go because there's no room. But when I was there, I was sleeping next to this other guy. And I saw a friend from high school in there that I hadn't seen in years. And back then, you know, I was barely, man, that was my first time in jail actually and stuff. And then when they let me go, 3 days later, I'm sitting at home and I'm watching the news. And the guy that was sleeping next to me got murdered. They murdered him 3 days later. And I didn't realize it back then that it was God's work. And I still didn't listen and stuff. I still got into more trouble, you know. But my addiction, my drugs was my life. Cocaine was my life. And it's a sad situation, you know, how we can throw our lives away due to our addictions. But it was amazing how the Lord was always there and stuff. And I would always look at my father, and he never gave up on me no matter what. And, you know, as I went through life, I couldn't understand, why is this man, where does he find the strength to keep us going? You know, and I would see him get up every morning and he would pray. And I'm like, man, who is he praying to? You know, but there were good parents and everything, and it was a blessing. You know, my dad, I went everywhere with my dad. I couldn't forgive myself for not, you know, being there more for my mother. You know, I remember coming home at 3 a.m. and the first one I would see there was my mom. She was at home because she knew she was going to die. And I never sat down and actually drank a cup of coffee with her and really asked my mom, what can I do for you? Because of my greediness was my drugs. And I hurt my mom real bad. I know I broke her heart. And it was amazing when I went to jail. I went away for 2 years. After that, I kept coming dirty for cocaine on my probation, and they sent me to state jail for 2 years. And it was when I was there, you know, I still kept going to my old ways, and I lost everything. I lost my freedom. I lost the little bit that I had. And it was hard for me to, when they were going to release me, it was hard for me to start life all over. And I remember asking the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, Lord, take over my life because I made a mess of my life, you know. So when I got out, you know, I told myself I wasn't going to make the same mistake twice. And my father, he was always there for me. After mom passed away, it was amazing the relationship. That afterwards, when I became clean and sober, my father was going to church with him every Sunday was a blessing from God, and I realized that cup of coffee meant more to him than gifts and money. Those 30 minutes that I enjoyed with my dad drinking coffee, and we would talk about everything. It was a friendship that, man, it was amazing. You know, and growing up with, I had 7 sisters and 5 brothers. It was hard that out of the five, four of us were addicted to cocaine. And my oldest brother, he's the one that introduced me to cocaine. And the Lord was always there for us. That oldest brother, I remember, these are situations that really happen in life, you know. The oldest brother, I remember, he ended up dying up there in Cristo Rey. But it was all the Lord's work. They have an annual walk over there in October every year. And I remember, his wife, he said he got drunk that night. It was a Saturday. He got drunk and he woke up like around 9 o'clock at night, and he told his wife to take care of herself and to take care of baby. The baby had barely been born. Her daughter was a baby Mia. And that he loved her and to take care of herself. That same week, he had gone and fixed some insurance papers for his son. And he gathered a bunch of toys to take to the fire department for the kids during Christmas time and stuff, donate them and stuff. And that Sunday morning, he just started going up the hill, and my dad kept telling him, "Hold on, wait for us. Why are you walking so fast?" And my brother would just wave goodbye. So when he got to the top of the mountain, right before he walked up to the cross, he had a heart attack. But you know, it was the Lord gave him the opportunity to say goodbye to his wife, his son. And sometimes we don't realize that God never abandons us. We abandoned him. And it breaks my heart every time I see my Lord Jesus Christ crucified, because I was one of the ones that crucified him. Well, you know, when I got out of jail, I remember, you know, like I said, I told Jesus Christ, take over my life, because I made a mess of it. And I never forget his first blessings after all I did. The first place I ended up was, when I got released from state jail, was a Christian church in Midland, Texas. I didn't have any clothes. I didn't have nothing. I was telling myself, why am I going to go out there, you know? I'm just going to end up messing up again. I don't have anything. That was 14 years ago. I had no clothes nor nothing. It was like starting life all over. And I remember I asked Jesus, "Lord, you lead the way, man. You lead the way, because I need you." And that was my first blessing he gave me, was clothes. And it was amazing how all those years that I threw away, he was still came with open arms and told me, come to me and I'm going to show you the way. You know, and it was amazing how people might think that the state of Texas changed me, that rehab changed me, but it was all God's glory. Amen. I give him all the credit, you know. Well, you know, what happened after I got out, you know, one day I just started reading my Bible and stuff. Little by little, I would put it off and then I would start over again. But just like I had made bad habits, I started creating good habits. And just before my father passed away, you know, I was born on April 14, 1969. You know, I already had started reading my Bibles, you know, and it was amazing how God was preparing me before my dad died. I remember I do my daily devotionals every day, and God told me one morning that God chose your day, when you were going to be born and when you're going to die. And nobody can change that. No doctor, no money, nobody. God chose your day, when you were going to be born and when you were going to die. Then he told me how people go straight to heaven, into the presence of God, escorted by angels. And it was amazing. This was just before Easter Sunday. That week, the hardest thing I had to do is, I remember telling my dad, "You want to go home?" He goes, "Yeah, I want to go home." I knew what was going to happen. And that was the hardest thing I had to do, is to carry my dad to his car. And driving him home, he wanted to go home. He knew. And I put him in his car, and it was like a baby. My dad was staring everywhere, looking through the street like he knew it was his last time. But it was amazing how God guided me through this, because that man was my best friend and my counselor. He was there. He's the only one that went to go see me when I was locked up. And that was one of the hardest things, is that I had to tell him why I was there. He never knew I was on cocaine. You know, cocaine was my life, and I would even kill my own. Sometimes I would be willing to kill my own family for it, you know. As I remember some stuff that happened, you know, it was hard. That it was my greediness. It was only me and my drugs. But I remember my father, you know, he was always church going and stuff. It was the hardest thing that happened that Easter week is my birthday was around the corner that week. And my father, I remember it was a Thursday. It was around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I was getting ready to go to church, and they called me. We already had been at dad's house, because he was already sick and stuff. And they told me that my dad had passed away. And that day, I remember I went, and I looked down at my dad, and the first person that came to my mind was when Jesus got crucified, because you can see my dad's bones through his shirt, where he had lost a bunch of weight. But my father ended up dying on my birthday. You know, but it was all the Lord's discipline. It was amazing how he prepared me for this. And the love of my father, I actually think that I was my dad's last mission in life. I was able to give my dad the last 10 years of his life clean and sober. But it was all the Lord's discipline. And I thank him for changing me in many ways. I hurt a lot of people. And it was a sad life where I was headed. There's so many situations that I know the Lord was there, and I can write a book out of this. it's just the way I hold this book now, you know, I give myself 5 minutes every morning, and I read 2 pages a day on my Bible, and I ask God for His wisdom, for His knowledge. And it's been amazing for me when you let God be control of your life through this book and you have your one-on-one with Him. The way I see things, it's a blessing to see the sunrise every morning. And that's through the grace of God. And amazing how He was always there for me. We went through a lot of stuff in life, and sometimes, like I said, we don't realize that He's there. God never abandons us. We abandon Him. But if you give Him the time to change you, a lot of people can't believe to this day that I'm clean and sober. The way I was lost, there's a lot of things I cannot forgive myself for doing. And I'm having a hard time, but the Lord Jesus Christ forgave me for what I did. And it was amazing how the Lord guided me all that time. He chose everything in life for me. Even my dad's truck, the one he used to make a living with, he bought it on my birthday. He died on my birthday. And I just thank God every day. And I'm the living proof that God works miracles because I'm alive because of Him. And my goal in life is to be able to help addicts that were in my situation. It's to give God the opportunity to change you. And it's through this book. Every morning I have my one-on-one with Him through reading my Bible. It took me 2.5 years just reading 2 pages a day. But it's how the Lord guides you in life through this book. It's the one-on-one with the Lord. And when you know He's backing you 100%, it's an amazing feeling. You know, even my job, I've gotten so much discipline through my work. You know, he taught me a lot of things not to... You don't put you don't put all your heart into your labor, you know. The way what happened at work, I was a rookie of 12 maintenance guys. And I remember praying to God to give me Your wisdom, give me Your knowledge, Lord. Teach me how to fix these machines. And it wasn't about money. It was about the Lord's discipline. And I prayed to God every morning, and I let Him lead the way. I thought I was going to lose my job that year. It was in 2008 when the recession hit, more or less. And I remember asking God for His wisdom and His knowledge, and You lead the way, God. I was able to save the company $2.4 million. Not my money, but it was God's glory. He taught me there that He's more powerful than money. Because the machines I ended up fixing for the company had zero value. These little machines, they call them braiders. They braid a thread on the insulation of wire, and they eat up a lot of money. And each one of those machines is worth $30,000. And these machines were already stored away in a storage, which they had zero value. Well, I ended up fixing 145 of them. And that was through His wisdom, His knowledge, His everything. After I did all that, the company didn't even give me a thank you. I was a machine operator, and I took the position as maintenance mechanic thinking about the money. I never even got a raise. So they can't tell me I did it for the money. But I encourage everybody, any mother or anybody, any having trouble with their addiction, is to pray to God and ask Him for His knowledge, His wisdom, His guidance, His everything. 14 years ago, I had nothing. And I have a home. I have a car. I have my wife. And my other girlfriends that I had before I married my wife, I never had kids with them. But as soon as I sobered up, I married my wife, and I have my little girl and my little boy. Which, that's when God says, I'm going to choose your wife. And I'm going to give you kids when you are clean and sober. And I thank God for that. I encourage everybody to give yourself time to read 5 minutes. And you ask the Lord for His guidance, for His protection, for His wisdom. And when you know He's backing you up, it's a good feeling. Because I wasn't much of an educated person. I had failed at everything in life. And it's amazing when God turns you around. And I just wanted to share that with everybody, that you let God lead the way. And He's going to open doors you wouldn't imagine. It's through this book. You give your life. That's one-on-one with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an amazing feeling. I want to thank you, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. The gospel changes people's lives. It changes people's lives like nothing else can. There's a neat thing happening in our church right now. I sense a revival. And I sense people getting very, very excited about sharing the gospel. I mean, taking it to the streets. I want Justin, are you here? Why don't you come up and share a little more, and then I'm going to have Jeff come up, who's another brother in Christ, and they're going to share their hearts about, again, continued evangelism efforts here, and we're even going to start putting a class together where you can get involved. Justin, welcome him again.
I don't know who was here on Sunday, but I don't want to say the same thing over and over again. Will you raise your hand if you're here on Sunday? Because I don't want to say the same thing over and over. Okay. All right, class. All right, so I'm going to... what happened was God put on my heart to pass out these Easter tracts, and we passed out about 1,000 on Sunday. But what I want to do is say... how it all started. About a month ago, I told you guys that God just really started putting it on my heart to be a doer and not just a hearer of the word. And it was intense, to be honest with you, intense. And but it started. I never told you guys how it started, so I guess I'll just share that with you. Let me see if I can find it. About a month ago, I was at work and I was on Facebook. Wait, is this? Videotape. I was on work and I was at work and I was on Facebook, and I saw this. There was this. I went to this thing came up. There was this news, and it was about this 25-year-old boxer. I don't know if you heard about it, but there's this 25-year-old boxer who is going somewhere in life. And on November, last November, he woke up one morning, and he was urinating blood. So he went to the doctor that morning, and they told him that he had stage 4 cancer. So I'm reading this, and it lists his Facebook posts from November all the way until he died in January. What is that? 2 months ago he died. So he had no idea November, and then he passed away in January. And I was reading his Facebook posts, And at first he's like, okay, I'm hopeful. And he started, and at a point he knew he was going to go. The doctors told him, and I was reading it there in my classroom, and he started listing all these regrets that he had. As I was sitting there in my classroom, that's where it started. God put it on my heart. He's like, Justin, what if you ended up with stage 4 cancer, or you knew you were gonna die in 2 months? What would be your 3 biggest regrets in your life? And it hit me hard. So I went home that night and I sat there and just prayed, and I wrote down the 3 biggest regrets that if I were to die or end up with stage 4 cancer right now in my life, what would be the 3 biggest regrets? And I wrote them down, and this is where God started speaking to me. I'll read them to you. The first regret I would have if I were to pass away in the next month would be, I would regret letting stress and anxiety rob me of the present, not being still enough to enjoy every moment that God has given me. I would regret all the peace that I missed out on, not just being in the presence of God. That's my first regret. Second regret I wrote down was, I would regret not waking up early and spending time with God, just being still. I would regret every missed sunrise with Him. And this is my third regret that I wrote down about 4 weeks ago. I would regret not living for Christ with every ounce of my being. I would regret being afraid of living for Him. And I would wonder how my life would have been different if I had given it my all. And after I wrote that down, I wrote those 3 things down, and God said, okay, now do it. I'd encourage you to do the same thing. I don't want to be morbid, because that's not morbid for us. If you're a Christian, you're going to be in the presence of Christ. That's not morbid. So write down your 3. If you were going to find out tomorrow that this was it, that you had a month left, what would be your regrets as a Christian? And it's interesting to write them down. Write down those 3 things and do them. And He put on my heart, I already told you guys, to write these tracts. And I just, living for Christ as much as I could. And last thing I want to share with you is that I searched evangelism on Google. I just searched evangelism. You know how many results came up? Hundreds of thousands. I looked at evangelist groups. There's tens of thousands of evangelist groups. High Point Evangelism, Billy Graham Evangelism Association. There's thousands, tens upon thousands. But the question is, why is our nation still not a Christian nation? Our nation's not a Christian. What's going on? We have tens of thousands of evangelistic associations, and I can't use the word Christmas in school. It's not Christmas break, it's holiday break, as my principal told me. So what's the problem? And God put it on my heart that there's nothing wrong with those things, but the problem is that Christians, if we would just live, if each one of us would live like we believed, if you would go out tomorrow and you just lived like you actually believed what we're reading, and you see people and you're sharing the gospel face to face, just in your day with your work environment, God would change the world. Let me tell you something. Last Sunday, when everybody came and got these, we passed out 1,000. Okay, last Sunday we believed, and we believed for about an hour. And because of what happened in this fellowship, about 32,000 people are going to get to read the gospel message already. This one, 32,000. Because we started to believe. 11 people believed in the Spirit of God. Through the Spirit of God, it changed the entire world. They didn't believe like from 6 to 7. Or they didn't believe on Sundays and Wednesdays. You guys, the disciples believed every minute of every day after the resurrection, right? But it's post-resurrection now. They believed every second of every day, and the Spirit of God changed the world. So I guess what I would just say is that we should strive to live every day like we really truly believe it, and we will change the world. And the last thing I want to say, I know I'm talking a lot, is the last thing I want to say is that it starts with prayer and getting to know God. You can't live like you believe it unless you get to know Him deeply in prayer. Like my brother said before, get to know Him in prayer deeply. In the morning, spend time with Him. Get to know Him. The problem is we have millions of Christians who know Christ. They have millions of Christians who know Christ. And they're going to be like, Lord, look at all this stuff. You know? But It's not whether we know about him, okay? Satan knows about him. It's whether he knows you. And I heard a pastor illustrate it once, and then I'll go. Imagine that I went to the White House, and I go to the White House, and it's the middle of the day, and I run up to the gate, security's there, and I'm like, oh, and I start beating on the gate, and I'm like, Obama, it's Justin. Security rushes over, and I'm like, no, it's cool, I know Obama. It's cool, back off, bro. Okay? And I give him a little shove, right? I'm going to get shot. But what if Obama came out of the White House and said, it's cool, guys, I know Justin? Would that be a different story? Get to know him. There's a difference between knowing of him and knowing him personally, and you guys having a relationship. Get to know him. Live like, if we all live like we believe it, and Christ will change the world. If we don't, it's just going to keep being the same pattern. We need Christians to believe. We need Christians, John Piper said it the best, we need Christians who where the men who like Moses of old convened with God face to face. Let's convene with him face to face. Let's start living like it and let's change the world. 30,000 right now. We have 4 weeks to go. It's called the Easter Challenge. If you want it emailed to you, I can email it to you. I have more copies. You could take copies and make them. Just find two people in the next 4 weeks and just hand them out. Here's the gospel. Thanks, guys.
This is Jeff.
Jeff Jones.
Hi. Oh. All right. Can you hear me? Okay. I'm going to be quick. First, I want to say thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to address your flock and to the elders and staff here for all your support. Pastor only gave me an hour and a half, so I'll try to be short. Thank you for laughing. Quick background. I grew up in church, and I don't know if it was real, if it was for my parents or the people around me or whatever it was, but I walked away for probably about 16 years, and 2007 I was on my way to Iraq through Kuwait. Going to work, I was going early because there was nothing to do sitting around Kuwait, and I was going to hit Burger King and then head on up to the flight line and do some stuff, and I had to cross the street because there was a convoy coming, and instead of going to Burger King, I ended up in church, and this Marine chaplain was talking, and I don't remember the sermon, I just remember him saying that everything that we try in our life is never going to save us, is never going to get us there. And I walked away thinking, you know what? I've been trying this for 14 years my way. I know the truths. I know the stories. I know the precedents and everything that church, has to do with church. And it just wasn't working. And, like Justin said, there's something that's always missing. And when we realize that we can't do anything and our sin is, condemned us to hell, then that's when we really need something. 2009, I got to Fort Hood, and a guy named Brian Collier was given a class on evangelism. And this is 2 years going into, and I couldn't get enough, from the start. I was just hungry, wanted more. And so he's given this class on evangelism, and I never, ever thought about it. I see the crazy people on the streets with their signs or whatever. But what he said something that night just really convicted me and changed my whole outlook on evangelism and talking about Jesus. It was, the grace that God has given us was so great. Who are we to keep that to ourselves? Who am I? How selfish of me to keep that to myself and not tell the whole world that's dying and doesn't know that's going to hell? And it really almost chokes me up now, but I came up with a couple, key points on what evangelism is. And that was me at first. I'm sure that's probably a lot of people here, but after you start doing it, then you go out, and there's some other things that happen. If you can't see it in the back, a guy wants to talk about Jesus. The other guy with his paper and coffee says, no, not really. One guy feels awkward, another guy loves coffee. That was where I was after. I said, I got to go. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do, who to talk to, how to say it. So I started thinking, there's got to be a method to this. And looking back, this is a class, by the way, that I put together, and I'm going to go deeper into it. If any of you guys are interested, afterwards, I think Justin's going to have more tracts to give out, and you can put your name on my notes because I forgot a sign-up sheet. But in the future, we'll have we'll put out a time and stuff. We can all get together and go more into this. But this is the main points of evangelism. I mean, we receive salvation by grace through faith. We believe in the power of the cross, of the gospel, and the Holy Spirit. We've already heard two testimonies about how important prayer is. And I can't say enough how much it just humbles you and changes your outlook. And you see God working every day for something that you prayed about. And you're just like, God, you're just amazing. And then the last part is the part that most of us don't do. We don't go. We don't, even when we go to work, we don't make it a point to stand out, you know. Or being in the army is, what is it, proselytizing, I think is the word. You can't really say something, but I'll leave tracts all over my desk. And I leave anti-abortion stuff all over my desk, and I let people ask me about it. Because as soon as they ask me, then, you know, it's their curiosity and not me trying to change or proselytize them. But I'm going to flip through this real quick. Like I said, there's a couple verses in there that we're going to go through later in the class, if anybody's interested. Sorry. Wait. All right. So that was my little summary of it. I'll let you read it. But basically, God saved us. We weren't worth it. Who are we to keep that to ourselves? So, see? Apple. Good thing I have an iPad and know how to use it. So, evangelism is not a dirty word. Let's don't be scared of it. Let's make evangelism the good news or the gospel again and tell people. A couple of notes I have. I tried to run through that quick because I know we're short on time. But most people say that they don't feel led to witness. As Christians, we're commanded to go and share the gospel to the entire world, to every creature. We're promised the power of the Holy Spirit, like you may have saw, Acts 1:8, and that the Spirit will speak for us in Luke 12. Other people say they're waiting for God to open doors. To be as blunt as I can, when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, he blew the hinges off the doors. There's no doors left. It's wide open. We got to go. Trusting in the Holy Spirit when you go. There's so many times when I want to go somewhere and I'm like, God, this isn't right. I don't feel good. He's like, you know what? Just go. Go do it. And I think Justin had a similar experience he talked about before. But in Acts 16, Paul and Silas are joined by Timothy, and they went to Mysia. I'm not a Bible student, so I don't know how to say that. Then they wanted to go to Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit didn't allow them to go. I don't know why. You may know why, Pastor, but I don't know why. But the point is that they went, and they trusted the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit didn't want them to go for some reason. That's why prayer is important for everyday life. But, you know, when you go out, too, just be prayed up. God's going to take you where he wants you to go. He's going to let the people hear that he wants to hear. So when we're prayed up, we know God's voice versus Satan's voice, whether it's encouraging or discouraging, or if it's something that we're rushing into without, you know, thinking about it. We can't wait for it. I got a short video. I was supposed to give them a little heads up. So you good? We can't wait for the tingling feeling to share the truth of salvation. We're to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season to do the work of an evangelist and fulfill our ministry. That's straight out of Scripture. That's not me making that up or some other pastor's words. That's straight out of the Bible. You ready? Watch this real quick.
And so for those reasons, I believe the crankbait is the most versatile and fruitful lure you could possibly have. Well, that concludes this week's discussions. I want to thank everybody for coming out today. And I also want to thank our newest member, Andrew, for showing up and joining us today.
Thank you.
Okay, so does anybody have any announcements or any upcoming events or dates we need to know about?
Oh, yeah, we got the bake sale coming up on the 23rd, and we use everybody's help for that.
Also, our group potluck is coming up on the 30th, and it's going to be in the main hall. And I will be bringing my mama's famous chili.
That's right. 30th main hall potluck supper.
Also, there's a great fly fishing seminar over in Monroe this weekend. I'm going to be carpooling, so if anybody wants to go, just let me know. Tickets are $5, and the speaker is supposed to be amazing.
That's fantastic. If anybody wants to go with Rick, be sure and get with him after the meeting, all right? Anything else you can think of?
Yeah, when's our next fishing trip? And I have a new reel, and I'm ready to try it out.
What are you talking about?
You know, going fishing. Okay, what about this Saturday?
Oh, it's supposed to be, like, really cold that day.
Next Saturday?
That's the day of the bake sale, and we can't miss that.
2 weeks, maybe. Like, on a Thursday, I might can take off.
I have classes, like, all day.
How about this summer?
Fish, like, swim south for the summer?
I gotta get my dogs bathed.
Also, I'm allergic to water.
Helping my neighbor change all of his light bulbs.
Got high pollen count day.
My mom had a really bad reaction one time, and I think it runs in the family.
It's my dog's birthday. He's turning 4.
I just can't handle the sun.
Do you even have your license? Do you have your permit? Could you tell me what's the difference? I got this blue card in the mail, and I'm not sure. I think it was a boating license, but I don't have a boat, so I don't know why they sent it to me.
Has anyone here gone fishing ever? So nobody has actually ever gone fishing in a fishing group here.
Thanks, guys.
It's nice meeting y'all. Good luck.
Oh, hey. We still need to elect a Apollo chairman.
All right, so I hope that woke you up a little bit. That kind of goes right with what Justin was saying, being a doer and not a hearer. It's really important. We are a fisherman's club right here. We're the church. We're the ones that Jesus called to be the light to the world, to go out and do it. Pastor Terry said something in his December 30th sermon, which I think was called Team Jesus. I think that was probably one of the best sermons I've heard in a year and a half here, just because it was so much on the people that went out. He said, he issued a challenge to the church. He said, if the world is going to change and lives change around you, then it's going to happen through his people. God chose to use us. Not one of his disciples was any religious elite of Jesus' day, and there was nothing special about any of them. Then the challenge was this: if this is your church home, I'm encouraging you to become actively involved. I need you to join arms with brothers and sisters at this ministry. And that's what Jesus called us to do, and that's what Pastor Terry just reiterated on New Year's Eve-ish. So I'm almost done. I got a couple of quotes, but let's take Pastor Terry's challenge. Let's take God's call to go to the world, to our Jerusalem, to our Judea and our Samaria, which may be Juarez or it may be Upper Valley, East Side. Wherever it is, that's our pond to go fishing. Charles Spurgeon, great guy. Some of you guys may know of him. He said, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. So let's not be fake. Let's not be a fisherman's club that doesn't fish. A.W. Pink said, after grief for sin, there should be joy for forgiveness. And that's what convicted me so many years ago, was all this forgiveness that God had given me for the things that I was doing, trying to run my own life. And again, who am I to keep that to myself? So we've been forgiven. Let's go and share that to others. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Let your faith be your joy. Let your fear and grief lead to prayer and action. Again, staying in prayer. One last thing. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, he said this to somebody one time. He said, not called, did you say? Not heard the call, I think you should say. Put your ear down to the Bible and hear him bid you go and pull sinners out of the fire of sin. Put your ear down to the burdened, agonized heart of humanity and listen to its pitiful wail for help. Go stand at the gates of hell and hear the damned entreat you to go to their father's house, bid their brothers and sisters and servants and masters not to come there. And then look Christ in the face, whose mercy you have professed to obey, and tell him whether you join heart and soul and body and circumstance in the march to publish his mercy to the world. That's all I got. Pray real quick, if that's all right, Pastor. Father God, I thank you for this night. I thank you for this opportunity to be here in fellowship, to just to praise you, Lord, to hear from you, from your people. Lord, we pray that you stir hearts here tonight, Lord, with your Spirit, that you will work in our lives, that you will convict us. And Lord, just give us the courage and the boldness to go. Give us the words to go. Lord, help us to join arms with other believers and come together united for one thing, for your kingdom, Lord. Thank you, Father, again for this body, for this time up here. And I pray that, Lord, everything that we do is for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Why don't we dim the lights and the worship team come up? And those who are going to be distributing the elements, why don't you come on up? As I said, tonight's a celebration of the gospel message. We've had an example of a life that was completely changed by Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you, Fernie, for sharing that with us. Many of us sit here tonight with lives that have been utterly changed by Jesus Christ. And now we've been fired up by two young men who would like to start getting really, really serious about evangelism here at this fellowship. Just so you know, they are going to be putting a class together and we're going to be organizing time where you can actually go out and share your faith. So we'll be training and going for it. Before we distribute these elements, I'd like you to bow your heads and close your eyes once more. And I don't know what brought you here tonight. Maybe you're living in a world like Fernie described before he came to Christ, and you're wondering if your life can be changed too. It can. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him would not perish but have everlasting life. Christ has died on the cross. It is done. He is risen from the dead, and his blood will wash away every sin. But you must receive him. As we partake of these elements, we do so as those who have received Christ. This is a believer's meal. These elements won't save you. You take them because you're saved, as you remember what Christ has done for you. So before we distribute, I'd like to give everyone an opportunity to make sure they're right. Are you a member of the family of God? You do so by asking Christ to come into your life. And so if you've never done that, I'd like you to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, change me. I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Be my Savior. Take my life. Lord, save. Let's stay in an attitude of worship and reverence as we pass these elements out. We'll all partake of them together. So wait, and we'll all take them together. And let's sing and praise the Lord here. Thank you. now we want to obey what you've commanded us. You've commanded us to regularly remember what you did for us this way. We're mindful of your body that was broken, your blood that was spilled, the price that was paid, that we might be completely forgiven, become born again. We praise you, Lord Jesus. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's take. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. What a Savior. Amen. What a wonderful Savior we serve. At the communion service, I often like to ask people to stand up and pray for physical healing. Tonight, I want to pray for a dear brother in our fellowship. Many of you know Margaret Valenzuela, who's our secretary here at the church. If you've ever called the church, you've probably gotten her. Her husband, Sergio, woke up with pain on Sunday morning. And it turns out he came down with a serious form of pancreatitis. And so he is in very serious condition right now at Providence. He's having kidney issues and all kinds of things. And so what I want us to do is let's grab hands. If you're sitting next to someone, or we're all sitting next to someone, grab their hand. And let's stand. Let's grab hands across the aisle. And we're gonna grab hands in faith. Yeah, if you're back there, just create a little circle. Sergio needs healing. We need a miracle. So, Father, here we are, your people, your children. Hearts so concerned for our brother Sergio. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would reach down from heaven and touch his body. I pray for a complete and total recovery for Sergio. Healing power, Lord, from heaven. We place him in your very loving care. Lord, fill Margaret and the boys, the daughter, with great faith. We lift the whole family up right now. Surround them with your presence. Even now, Lord, touch Sergio right where he's at. Father, I'd also like to pray for Chris Plassant's dad, who's in that same hospital right now with a heart condition. Father, we want to pray for our brother Richard Pena, who's in that same hospital right now with pneumonia. And Father, we also want to pray for Eric Salas, by name, with the issues that he's having. Lord, it's been a heavy week, but we trust you. We trust you. breakthrough. Heal, pour out your power. May miracles be done, that your fame be spread. God, we lift these situations up to you. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right, let's turn those lights back on and finish with one last upbeat song. We're going to be up here in the front to pray for you any further if you need prayer. Just close with it.